Welcome back to the Be Official Podcast. I'm your host, your guy, Paul Payne 837. And today is a very special one because we are continuing the uncut conversations with somebody I know. The face is probably new to you guys, and everybody who's listening on audio, you'll probably recognize his voice. But yeah, I'm joined by my man, the mysterious man behind the camera all the time. When you see me, my looks looking gorgeous and awesome and beautiful all the time, you know. I introduce you to Director D.
Thank you.
Say hi to the family, the Be Official Club.
Gang, gang. I love you guys. Shout out to the Be Official Club. I'm grateful for the platform that you guys invited me in your space. Yeah.
So I have a tradition here. What we do is, when I say, let's roll the intro, we do it together.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll stretch our hands.
Okay.
So when I say, let's roll the intro.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
Right? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's roll the intro. Welcome back to the Be Official Podcast. So today, just like I told you, we're having the uncut version, uncut conversations, you know, with my man's Director D. And it's a little bit deep today, you know. So we're going through a song titled Back in the Day. Such a special song, you know. So it talks about a lot of gratification, you know, and just looking back and thanking God for the grace and, you know, his mercies and his blessings throughout your life, you know. So, because sometimes we are blinded with how rapid things are moving. So we'll get to ask each other some little questions, you know, that will just, you know, unveil a little bit of where we come from and, you know, just looking at the things we've all achieved in our different spaces. So, it starts now. So,
Let's get into it.
Are you ready?
As ready as I can be.
Awesome. The rain has also started raining.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, man. So, can you take us back to the beginning of your journey? What were some of the initial struggles you faced?
Well, I think we can take it to, I think, let's talk about my career first. Mm-hmm. I think the earliest struggles were me diverting from the initial plan that my parents had. You know, I think everybody growing up, your parents want you to either become a doctor, engineer, lawyer, whatnot. Yeah. And then here's young me telling my parents that I don't want to do none of that. I think I want to hold the camera for the rest of my life. And that didn't go so well. So navigating through those conversations was a bit hard.
Yeah.
But also growing up, you know, grateful for my family. Mm-hmm. My parents provided what they could. But, you know, when you're young, back in the day, not this Gen Z, but us back in the day, we didn't have, you know, DSTV and whatnot. We didn't have the PS5s. But then we had little. But then when you see your friends that had the Game Boys, the things to play with and whatnot. Yeah. And then when you didn't have those, you felt some type of way. Mm-hmm. And wanting your parents to get you that when they couldn't was a little sad. But, hey. If they, you know, God knows why we went through that, but yeah. They provided all they could, and here we are today. More reason to the song. we have the things that we did have then, because, you know, fast forward, God did, you know. Yeah.
Awesome, amazing. I think I probably also kind of relate.
Okay.
Because, you know, for me, right,
yeah.
Coming from a home where my parents had to separate, you know, I think for me that was like the most, like, you know, difficult part.
Yeah.
Just like you, I think, yeah, they did all they could, you know, they could provide whatever that we wanted. But, you know, Mandem wanted the finer things, you know.
Amen.
So just like you seeing your friends, you know, having your the best toys,
yeah.
You know, having the best luxury stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always wish that your parents could, you know, do a little bit just more, you know. So for me, I think kind of pushed me to the edge, to a point whereby I started stealing money, you know, just to get the things I wanted. But yeah, you know, no crime goes unpunished. You know? So I had to be dealt with. And I think just from that space and looking at how just life spanned out, I think for me, I would have been also in a different space, you know, probably accounting or anything business related and other kind of stuff. But I had to do a reset button, you know, and I'm glad that now, you know, it was kind of like foreign when I started, especially on the music thing. It was kind of foreign because they couldn't like grasp the vision, you know, and you know, when you're the only one who understands where you want to go, it's kind of hard for parents to just like let you
at that
go.
Age,
because they want security for you. You know, they want you to be in a place where just here. You know, we know why we're saying just here.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of difficult. But as more time as I pursued it, they started like getting a bit of like okay. I think we just need to accept, you know? So, yeah, I think those were minor things for me that I really faced back in the day.
So, what motivated you to keep going during the tough times? And were there specific moments or people that inspired you back then when you were, you know?
Back in the day. I think for me, right?
Yeah.
It's the constant support I had, especially like from you guys, you know, where, because back in the day, I only used to write songs, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just used to write stuff.
I remember.
Then I think that was the time when Zone Farm was coming out, you know, and I was like, wow, what? These guys could rap in English and, you know, a mix of Nyanja here and there. Quite right. Those the likes of Crisis, you know, and Critic, and but the way Zone Farm came out was like really different. You know,
like, this.
Yo, what's this? You know, and I remember there was a producer named Dida Steez, so he could upload like free beats on the net, you know, and you could download. So mostly what I started doing was like rap on beats of other people, you know, so I could get like Zone Farm's beats and just rap on them. Then I think I started recording myself and I could bring them to you guys, you know, and you're like, no, you're good. Even though I was trash, these niggas could just like put a little bit more of like,
man,
you're good.
Grinding.
Keep on pushing, you know. Yeah. So I think for me, looking at the people, I think it stems from you guys because I think, you know, we all suffer with that inferior complex where you just hold back and you're self-doubting, you know. So I think that really helped me.
True.
And those were kind of like some moments that really spun something, like some motivation to just like keep on going. Yeah.
I think to highlight on my part, the toughest, what motivated me to keep going? I think seeing the people that had gone before me, especially in my space, as a filmmaker, as a content creator, the people like Kenny Mumba, I think if you're in the digital space or the media space, then you definitely know that name. Shout outs to Kenny Rock. It's been doing the most since back in the day, you know. And he's one of the people that kind of, you know, you see them do what they were doing and then they keep going. And then also shout outs to the man that put me on, the Orlando guy, because he sparked a fire in me and put a camera in my hand. And since then, here we are today, still creating content. So even when I thought, you know, it's all hell after this, but then a quick reminder to the people that you keep close. I'm grateful for you because I think many other times for me, my worst enemy is my mind. So you find that days that I wake up and then I feel like I don't want to do this no more. Mm-hmm. And then you always come through and holler at me and throw some throw some sense in me, like, yo, let's keep doing this, you know. Mm-hmm. So the people that I keep around and the people that I see that I are still putting out content, mm-hmm. from back then, and they're still doing it now. So I'm like, wait, if those guys from the old days, if they can still be, you know, creating, keep on, you know, putting out content, then so can I. So yeah, the community around me and the people that have gone before me who are still doing it and giving it all their best. So that's what kind of keeps me going too.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. How did you overcome self-doubt and setbacks along the way?
Overcoming setbacks and what?
Self-doubt.
Okay, I'll tackle self-doubt. I think I understood earlier on that comparison kills. So I stopped comparing myself to other creatives. Mm. Instead, I was being inspired mm-hmm. earlier on. Always from the people that went before me. So every time I looked at my colleagues, they were not competitors, but people that I learned from. Because for me, learning is a continuous process. Mm-hmm. So I'm always curious. So I always ask questions. Till now, I always ask questions. I want to learn. So it's never about competition, but learning. Mm-hmm. And realizing that I'm my own competition. So my goal is to make sure that I'm better than I was yesterday. So mm-hmm. it's never to compete with anybody, but get better in my own craft, in my own gift. So meaning keep learning and no comparison. Mm-hmm. And setbacks. Mm-hmm. I think one thing you understand, as a firm believer, I would say that God gives us everything that we need, not want, but need. Mm-hmm. So earlier on, in his career, in my career, we never had much. Thank God for what we have today. But earlier on, we never had cameras, we never had lights, we never had Shure mics, we never had Apple, we never had none of that. But through the grace of God, we did the best with what we had. Mm-hmm. So I think because of the work ethic that we had, that's why we're able to be where we are today. It's because we put in the work. Mm-hmm. One thing people don't realize is back in the day, hashtag back in the day, back in the day, we were shooting from, he had an iPhone 6S, hmm. the small one. So some of the people would laugh, say, you guys are shooting videos on the phone. How is mm-hmm. it going to come out? But trust me, when we shot on the phone and then we showed them the end product, mind blowing, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't tell that this video was shot over the phone. But comes back to, we didn't have much. We had what we needed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we put used to. So we were shooting from the phone, editing from, we had, before the iMac, there was a laptop that was, you know, we were using. It was very small and it had issues, trust me. But we made the best of what we had. So excuses will never get you anywhere in mm-hmm. life. So use what you got to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I concur with what you're saying. On the issue of like self-doubt, right? Yeah. I think mostly for me, moments like that could spark in, you know, like especially where you talked about comparison, yeah. you know, like, you know, I could look and see my fellow artists, you know, they're shooting high budget end music videos, you know, they have the best studios, you know, they they have all these things, you know. And looking at the state I was at, you know, never had even like our home studio and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of like, you know, really hard to be in a place where you just like, you know, I gotta be in a place where I grind and, you know, put in the work and that kind of stuff. So it was hard because there were many voices in my head at that moment, especially with social media. You know how social media is, you know. So I had to put on a switch and just like turn it off completely and black out everything from the rest of the world. And just like put in the work and focus now on like building, you know, the things that I want to see.
Yeah.
You know, so those were like pivotal moments that I had to like put in place and just like tackle. I mean, you know, self-doubt comes here from here and there, but it's all about how you just switch off the baton.
Yeah.
So I had to switch it off, you know, and just focus on my own race. You talked about competition, you know, and I had to look at myself and say, you are my competition, you know. So I was pointing at the man in the mirror and saying, you know, right now we'll be comparing to where were you at last year and how are you now? You know, are you in the same place or are you moving? So those are things that I started out like, you know, changing and like changing my mindset and being in a place where now like this is where I want to be, you know. So it wasn't easy, and it's, trust me, good things are never easy. You know, so back in the day, those are things I had to face, you know, and I had to set my mind straight so that we can bring certain things to fruition and stuff.
True.
Setbacks, I mean, setbacks are inevitable, you know. Even Jesus himself had to face these things, you know, so that he shows us that they are things that you're going to find, and they're things that you can, you know, conquer, you know. So setbacks have always been there, but the mindset is always fall seven times and rise, you know. So that has been kind of like the motto to me.
True.
And yeah,
mad respect. So Payne, can you share a pivotal moment or turning point in your journey or life that marked a significant shift towards triumph?
Back in the day, hashtag. So,
yeah.
A pivotal moment. I feel like there are many pivotal moments, but I think I can pinpoint like two that really like changed my mindset towards what I really wanted to do, you know. So the first one was the passing of mom. You know, may I so continue resting in peace. I think that was just like a wake-up call to really like chase after what I really wanted, you know. And the other part is when I used to work for Subway, you know. That's one thing people don't know. But yeah, you know, during the time when I was working for Subway, I think that was on my off day. You know, I woke up and I just went into the manager's office to go and resign. And she laughed at me because, you know, you have to write a letter, right? Yeah. Before you do. I'd never wrote a letter. I just went in the office direct and said, Mr. P, what are you doing here? So I was like, I'm here to resign because I never gave a proper reason though. But I think I told him I'm going back to school, you know. So waking up from a job that I was guaranteed a pay slip every month was kind of the hardest part, because imagine now I was like thinking, why am I going to start getting money, you know? So those two points for me really changed how I view things now, because now I was in a place where now I really wanted to now be like chase the graphic design side of me, you know, like I wanted to now put in like more effort towards that side, you know. And the passing of mom just like gave me a realization. I'm like, if you keep on waiting, then nobody will ever come to you and say, yo, this is the way you need to go, you know. I bet every time the realization has to come from you. So that's the pivotal moment that you always need to have on your own, like understanding, saying, You are the only person who's going to rescue you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people might come to your aid, but by the end of the day, it's all up to you. Like, how badly do you want this? You know, so I had to take a U-turn and just say, you know, I think this is the direction that I want to take. And thank you to the fam for always holding me down, because I wouldn't have done it without them. You know, so, yeah. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you pretty much.
Okay.
Highlighted a lot. I think for me, my pivot moment, I think like you earlier alluded, mm-hmm. is there are a lot of pivotal moments. I think every time you do something better
mm-hmm.
than you are doing before, that's a moment to celebrate. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I'll take it back to when I taught my folks that I think I wanna pursue this. I think I remember those were uni days.
Mm.
They were not so thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I continued pursuing, you know, this career.
Mm-hmm.
But then fast forward when the money started to show, slowly they started adjusting to, you know, what I was doing, and then mm-hmm. they started kind of got a keen interest now,
mm-hmm.
asking like, so what is this that you guys do, you know?
Yeah.
What's involved in, you know, all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So my parents adjusting to, you know, what I do now.
Okay.
Which was kind of a life-changing process. And also, I think a triumph with working with the people that I looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
I think something that you've always been on my neck about
mm-hmm.
is me posting content on my page.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel lazy,
mm-hmm.
but I think this year I'm gonna do more of that. I think I've worked with all the people that I've looked up to in our industry,
mm-hmm.
in the creative space. Yeah, so having the opportunity to work with everybody that I looked up to was life changing, man.
Model.
And had the opportunity to be on a project,
mm-hmm.
And then the project involved Kenneth Kaunda, RIP, before he died, and then having a chance to meet him.
That was dope.
That was life changing.
Yeah. That was dope.
That was life changing. Those moments like that
mm-hmm.
kind of make me look back and say, maybe, you know, I didn't make a wrong choice. You know, God has a way of, you know, navigating us through life, and we get to meet people that we've never met. Trust me, if I was in a different
mm-hmm.
Workspace,
mm-hmm.
if I tell you the people I've met, the people I've interacted, if I'm in a different workspace,
mm-hmm.
I would have not met those people. Nada. But because I went this direction, I've met CEOs, I've sat with CEOs, with, you know, big people that, it, man.
Speak your talk. Talk your talk.
It's you know, that's why I say it's only God alone. That's why they say we make plans and then God laughs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so being able to meet these different people, mm-hmm. being able to be on these different projects mm-hmm. with, you know, big creative people, kind of humbling. So I think every time I step back, I'm humbled.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mado. Were there any unexpected challenges that arose during your journey, and how did you navigate through them?
Challenges are always there, but it's how we deal with the challenges. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was I jumped into this creative space with zero experience,
mm-hmm.
so that was hard. I think, as most of you may not know, I'm a graduate from the University of YouTube, graduated with flying colors, like him. and most of other creators, because in Zambia we don't have. I think it's now that they've started, you know, film schools. Some of the unis have, you know, these little courses that teach journalism and whatnot, but they don't fully teach filmmaking. So most of what I learned on filmmaking and being a content creator was off YouTube and the people that helped me in this space. So jumping into that without the knowledge of how are we going to navigate and learn all of that was a bit challenging. So learning off YouTube and off the people that were creating content before me was not the most easiest thing. But you had to, you know, keep up and keep learning,
I think I definitely relate with you because, like, I'll give an example, right? Like, let's say with my music career, right? In the beginning, it was like really tough because you go at the producer's place and, you know, they'll be jabbing you indirectly, you know, while they're comparing you like to somebody else, you know, like, oh, you know. So there'll be instances like that to make you feel like, you know, kind of to just, you know, drop your self low esteem, you know, and you'd be in that position whereby like, I think there's nothing for me, you know. And so there'll be those things where I could find like where really like every time I'm going to a studio, it was tough because now, like, let's say you find like a lot of people in there, you know, recording and all that kind of stuff. And the moment, like, let's say it's a joint project, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of you hits the booth, the speed fire. And just imagine, right? Like, how would you feel? You know, you have not even entered the booth yet.
They've already
killed you, you know. So there'll be moments like that, and you have to like stand up for yourself and other kind of stuff. So that was like some of the challenges that I could face, and thank God that now we have a home studio where I can just wake up any day and, you know, do what I need to do without any judgment, you know. And the other part again was like singing, you know. Trust me, 99.99% of the people I used to sing around with, you know, never saw that. You know, why you tell them?
I never saw that.
You feel me? Like,
I never saw that.
So there were moments when I could like tell them, like, you know, one day I think I'll start singing, you know. And one thing that motivated me to do this is because sometimes collaborations might take, I love collaborations, but sometimes collaborations, you know, you need to beg sometimes, you know. Beg. Bro, sis, I need a verse on, like, I need a chorus.
Do better.
You know.
Do so better, people.
You
do
beg. Better. You beg.
Artists, you know. Do better. Yeah.
But I had to like get in a point where I could see how the Chris Browns, the Drakes, you know, a lot of artists who can sing and rap. And I gave myself that task to say, I want to start singing. You know, it wasn't easy. Shout out to Shinko Beats, man. He once sent me back, you know, and said, big man, I think you are not ready for this.
Yeah,
and imagine, because we're doing like night sessions, right? So it was a night session. And I jump on the mic, and I sing, my Jesus Christ! And it's like, bro, I think you need to practice more. You know, I'm like, and like, no, because even autotune couldn't slap.
Yeah.
You know, why like, it was just like off key. You know,
yeah.
I think for me, he never knew what he did, but that just like really changed everything. Like I punished myself, you know. Every time I stopped listening to rappers, it's just listening to singers, you know.
Yeah.
So that like was just some challenges that, you know, really took me to a place where I had to elevate my mind, you know. And I realized that whatever you set your mind to, you become, you know.
Yes.
So that in its own is a superpower that people don't grasp, you know.
Sure.
Like when you set your mind to something, and believe me, spend more time in something that you are going to, like, you really want. Trust me. One way or another, it might take time. And most definitely, good things take time.
Definitely.
You know? So you might be in that place where you think like, I can't, you can, you know, set your mind to it and keep on practicing. Trust me. So I think for me, those were certain things that like really were jabbing me. And shout outs to the people who helped me get in the graphic design space, you know, being in a place where I really wanted, just like you, you know. For me, I think the most important part was in the design space. I really wanted to work for companies like Airtel, MTN, you know.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't understand, like, how do they do it, you know. So being in a space where I got into that, again, I set my mind to it and I said, I want to do this. I want to be in a space where I positioned myself to work for people like this, you know. So when I got into that stage, I was like, wow, okay, working with the EU, working with the Zambia airports, working with, it's quite a lot that I can't pinpoint unless if I just go back, you know, see. But, you know, I think I've also come to a place where I'm like, okay, this is cool, you know.
Yeah.
And now we're on a path where we're just like, you know, get into a place where we're challenging ourselves.
True.
You know, get into a point where we want to see ourselves, you know, because we've seen how the industry works and we've seen how certain people work. And it's just being in a point where by now we are pushing ourselves towards that space where we like, okay, cool. You know, this is a new challenge we've set for ourselves, because in our different spaces, we challenge ourselves to get to certain spaces where we work with like idols, you know, the people we look up to, you know, companies that we want to work with. And we've done that, you know, and now we're at a stage where we're like, okay, it's now our time, you know. So that's back in the day. And this is part
one
back in the day. So next week, you'll be watching part two of it, and we'll continue with the mission. Let us know what you think. This is a new series. Probably not new. We started the podcast with this series, you know, so we just want to continue it. Let us know what you think. And please, go and listen to the song, Back in the Day. It's out now on all digital platforms. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share with a friend. And shout out to everybody. The giveaway is still on, you know, every month. You know, we're still doing this, you know, bigger and better. So this month, we want to see who's going to rock out with us again, you know. More highlights will be coming, and we'll be sharing more with you guys. So like, share, follow us on Facebook. Director D, Popen 827, and I don't know if you have any closing remarks for.
I think just one last thing about the song. Back in the day, I think Back in the Day is for everybody that has a story to tell, from your underdog stage to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you know you've triumphed in whatever field you're in, you might be a makeup artist that had nothing and now you're doing maybe a business person that you had nothing but now you've got something to thank God for.
Mm.
Might be a homeowner, entrepreneur, a business, a farmer. Everybody has something that they're grateful for. When you see where you came from and where you're at, Back in the Day, it's a song for you.
Back in the day, could afford this.
Peace out.
Thank you so much. Bless.